Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 20 through 28. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made the surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmities. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated for evermore. In Genesis 3, we can read about a recorded deception of Satan. God keeps men from becoming wise, and the consequences of transgression are not all that grave. In Christ's priestly mediation, offering, and God's word, the opposite is revealed. Sin brings us death. Salvation is only in Christ. The wealth of the entire world cannot buy a moment of life, let alone the blessed and glorious eternity offered freely in our Savior. Everlasting life offered as a gift has been paid by Christ's self-sacrifice. The Almighty promised with an oath this great high priest, the only priest knowing the depth of hell and the bliss of glory, told us the truth, the gospel of salvation. The enemy of God's grace and our blessedness offers only his crafty treacheries. Verse 21. Those priests, Levi's sons, were made without an oath, but this, God's son, with an oath by him, the Father, that said unto him, the Son, The Lord swore and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Just as a short insert, I am offering a comment. The divine oneness of the Father and Son needed not any oath. If I may express the unspeakable, and that not without fear, because in my finite mind I am discussing the Almighty, I would say this. That oath had been given to gain our attention to and awareness of God's great work upon our salvation in a way and manner that the crafty enemy was not able to foresee, nor the loyal angels and godly men on earth could have perceived. What eye had not seen, nor any mind perceived, neither ever came into the heart of any being, is the great mystery and revelation of eternal love, glory, and adoration of the Father to the Son, and from the Son to the Father. There he has prepared a room for us. I think we are looking at two levels of God's work, but the divine nature of both priestly orders is so overwhelming that I wonder if I am able to share even some hints with you. Moses' mediation was blessed with the law and commandments. Men were ordered to obey the Lord their God, and in their obedience they lived under the wings of God's mercy. In Christ, we are invited to believe the gospel and let Christ's Spirit work in us. His power makes self-denial and obedience to Him. Looking into the depth of God's grace, I perceive that the genuine believers under the law, trusting and obeying God without intentional disobedience, had the same grace open to them, earned by the Lamb slain since the foundation of the world. Analog to that, changing the gospel teaching into man-made commandments and standards to accommodate our hypocritical intention to parade as sinless saints, we lose the grace in Christ and fall into self-condemnation, like theirs, or worse. The grandeur of our great high priest is in every dimension of both his person and work. Some of these dimensions are his holiness, power, and the plain beauty of his character as a man in the flesh. Could it be a hint about Adam before the fall? Not having been deceived by sin ever, the Savior was naturally, spontaneously alert and constantly set up against sin. He is genuinely concerned for the needs of the souls around him. No high priest was so close to our Creator to represent us. No other high priest ever had such massive desire to save us from hell and for that blessed eternity. The crafty deception of the devil was not unknown to him. He recognized evil and real good in our hearts. From him men could hide nothing. Verse 22. By so much Jesus was made a surety of a better testament. The reality must be so much better than the foreshadowing of it. The Father's will is to have His Son, the priest, forever. It is the fervent desire of the Son to do the Father's will. Verses 23 and 24. They, the Levites, truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this one, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. They were many, but they all passed away. Christ is one and eternal. Eternity lasts forever. The fragments of time, as many as there were, eventually expired. We must consider all of us in that light. We needed salvation. He is the Savior. We were dead in sin. He gave us new life to live in Him. Verse 25. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. Since Abel's acceptable offering, until the last one crying to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He, Christ, the High Priest, intercedes. All that ever came to God had this one and only priest to intercede. But also each one of the individual souls saved in this great High Priest is secured by His constant interceding before God of perfect justice, mercy and grace, our Heavenly Father in Christ. We cannot survive a moment in our own ability without Christ's mediation before the Father and His gracious care and supply in His Spirit of new life. That is His constant priesthood. Our salvation depends on Christ our Mediator constantly. When we live in the light of His teaching, we have strong testimony that He cares for us. If we live in Christ, we know that He lives in us. His care for us is manifested in our daily walk by our care in obedience to His word. We have only one Master, 1 John 1, 6 and 7. Verse 26, such an high priest became us, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. We needed such a high priest, that one alone, able to offer such a sacrifice. Nothing less could satisfy the perfect justice. We are profane, unholy. Only this Holy One can deliver us. Our mind and heart is so much harmed by sin that we, in our best intentions, harm one another. We need this harmless Savior to liberate us from the power of darkness in mind and heart. We are sin-defiled. He is sinless, pure. Defiled offering could not meet God's high standard. Sinners cannot redeem one another. In all the differences, He is separate from us and one with the Father. When I cast myself at His feet, He'll transfer me. He'll take me out of the world of sin and darkness and into the mercy and grace of the Father. So we become one in our Redeemer and separate from the world. Now, He is higher than the heavens to us. All our high places crumble before Him. All the kingdoms of the world are but dust and ashes, and all the glory of the world is vanity and foolishness. Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord, our great High Priest forever. When He is the highest to us, He is lifting us up to Him. John 17:24, verse 27. He needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for His own sins, and then for the people's. For this He did once, when He offered up Himself. If I offer first myself to Him, my struggle against self is over. I am dead. He is my Lord and my new life. The high priest, foreshadowing the heavenly priest, needed to offer a sacrifice for their own sin, and thus seek the refuge in the true sacrifice to be acceptable when offering for the people. By faith and obedience, they were clean and acceptable to God. How many of them, or did any, understand the Father's mercy and grace in His beloved Son? How grateful we must be for God's fulfilling His promise of old and for the newer scriptures revealing to us the depth and height of His grace in Christ. But how tiny a part of all this wealth in Christ I can understand so far. That perfectly pure, holy, righteous priest offered the perfect sacrifice, accomplished the full redemption, delivered sinners, defeated Satan. He wholly glorified God. He offered the greatest ransom available, Himself. The angels desired to look into this great gospel, 1 Peter 1:12. It is hidden from the worldly wisdom, but revealed to the little ones, Matthew 11:25. And sinners enter into paradise, Luke 23:43. verse 28, the law had made men high priests which had infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, makes the Son, who is consecrated for evermore. The law appointed the Pentecostal Jubilee, but it never happened in the kingdom. The era of priests and kings was never blessed with the fulfillment of that ordinance. The children of Israel never trusted God sufficiently to receive such mercy and grace that they could have received by faith in God. They missed a great blessing. Never did the trumpet of Jubilee sound forth in Jerusalem to be heard in the next cities and from city to city until all over the promised land the flood of joy would soar up to heaven. For all debts are forgiven, all oppression stopped, all were free. Never. Human unbelief and disobedience were always in the way of so great blessedness. The great high priest, the perfectly holy, consecrated forever by God the Father, had not been manifested in the flesh to answer the prayers of godly worshippers. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the power from on high, and the gospel trumpet sounded forth mightily. The eternal great high priest is declaring the year of Jubilee to all the nations. He is our peace and liberty forever. If I am ever tempted to think highly about myself, I should get back to this attempt of unfolding this epistle. In so many words, I barely touched the surface, although I desired to open the deep well of wisdom and understanding available in Hebrews. In my desire to look deeper into this revelation, I realize how shallow I am. All I have learned so far, all I believe I understood, all is but a shadow foreshadowing the inconceivable experience of seeing Him as He is, heavenly beauty and majesty. I am not frustrated, just amazed. Isaiah 55, verse 9, keeps landing on my mind, adding to my awareness of the Lord Jesus Christ, so highly exalted and so close to us in all our needs. Only God can design such salvation and victory over sin and death. As wonderful and glorious is the Levitical priesthood, it is but foreshadowing our blessed all-in-one priest, prophet, king, and ransom, full satisfaction of the law and unfailing security of our future, not only this short time, but also for eternity. The law designed former priesthood for Israel's time and location. Heavenly King and Priest is forever, for everywhere, for everyone, and there is none other. The law He gave for the limited priesthood, He replaced, ushering in a new order. The new order is universal, eternal, for all nations and locations. Now we are all invited to look up to this one mediator to lead us back into that last long ago peace with our God the Creator, our Heavenly Father in Christ, the only Savior. Verses 12 through 15. God is above the law. According to His wisdom, goodness, and might, God brought to us this new covenant through by and in the new high priest, his son. Verse 16. This eternal priest cannot be bound by the law of the Levitical priesthood. The Creator of the world has in himself the power of that indestructible life. All that ever was, is, or will be created bears the marks of this one Creator, and nothing can be as great as he is. He declares, "Thou, Christ, art the priest forever." Verses 17 through 19 and the verse 28. The law didn't make perfect priests. I am not perfect in myself. When we are in our perfect priest, we have the hope, verse 19 and 1 John 3:3, and the promise in 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 57, that he will take us into his glorious eternal perfection.